From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
The rainbow waves up high.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed psychotherapist in Los Angeles, and this is a show where we deal with the fact that we all know that the truth will set you free. The question is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? Think about that. How long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? How long are you willing to keep your consciousness in a state of denial and in a state of avoidance and a state of numbing, the way so many of us do throughout our lives, no matter what the issues? And this is a show where I deal with mental health issues from a holistic perspective. And at the beginning of every show, I describe what I mean by holistic. Tonight, in a little while, I'll be introducing my guest, because tonight's topic is called the gift of ADD, attention deficit disorder. And my guest in a little while will be introducing Mary Ellen Girac, who wrote a book by that title. And the foreword of her book is actually what I'm going to read. The first paragraph of it is by Dr. Edward Hallowell, who's one of the co-authors of Driven to Distraction, which is a book I recommend to all my clients when we're beginning to assess ADD issues. And Dr. Hallowell, of course, is well known in the area of ADD and ADHD in adults as well as children. And the first paragraph in the foreword that he wrote for Mary Ellen's book states, and I quote, "On rare occasion, you read a work that dramatically alters your perceptions of the world and yourself. This could be such a work for you." And he goes on to talk about really my belief in what holistic is. Humankind has always been faced with problems, and we have come to varying conclusions about the nature of these problems and how to address them. While science and medicine has traditionally looked at the human body as an assembly of various parts, a holistic approach of looking at the whole person is proving to be more effective in treating disease, imbalance, and differences. Research also concludes that emotions are the link between mind and body and can limit or improve learning and behavior. Now, of course, in my approach, I would add spirit to that, but Mary Ellen addresses that throughout her book also. That's what I mean by holistic approach, dealing with the mind, body, and spirit, and helping to find and create a place of balance internally so that our external lives begin to reflect that inner peace and balance that we strive for. And that's what the show focuses on each week. And like I said, tonight, we're going to be talking about ADD. Now, if you've listened to my show over the last year and a half, you know that I've done a number of shows on attention deficit disorder, mainly focusing on issues around adults. And when I've had callers, sometimes the issue has been about that without them realizing that, and we've addressed those issues. And the reason I've done a number of shows on ADD is because when I was 45 years old, which is about 8 years ago, I'm 53 now, I was diagnosed with attention deficit disorder without the hyperactive component to it. And you would think that all the years I've been in treatment and been a therapist and been in therapy as a client and done all sorts of modalities and workshops and different types of therapists and trainers, teachers, gurus, you name it, that somehow somebody's eyes and heart and intuition would have seen the symptoms and put them together before a therapist finally did at age 45. I mean, better late than never. But the transformation that came about in my own life because of the framework this gave me as a way of viewing my history, but also looking at my behavior patterns and the struggles that I've been in and continue to be in to a lesser extent, thank God. The issue of having had such a positive result from the medications and all of the conflict and controversy around the stimulants like Ritalin or Adderall, Xylort, and Dexedrine that help treat children and adults with ADD, it just opened up a whole new world professionally as well as personally for me. And as a result of it, I have found myself following through better on things, dealing with my own life in a way that is in many ways more organized, although I'm not completely on top of everything, and there's, you know, after 45 years, there's 45 years of cleaning up and changes to do, and that has to do with, again, the holistic approach to change in therapy, which is changing beliefs and attitudes so that the behaviors can shift. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight in the context of attention deficit disorder and attention deficit hyperactive disorder. That is the expertise of my guest tonight. And before I introduce her, I want to remind all of you that this is a live call-in show on KXAM. And if you're in the Phoenix area, the local number is 480-874-1311. That's 480-874-1311. If you happen to be listening over the internet from anywhere else in the world, but can call in toll free, if you're elsewhere in the U.S., as we had a caller from New York a couple of weeks ago, the toll free number is 1-888-437-7660. That's 888-437-7660. So, without any more delay, I'm very excited to have as my guest this week a woman who I met only a few months ago at Income Builders International, which is a week-long entrepreneurial workshop that actually helped me get focused and organized on a number of important things. And Mary Ellen Girac was there, and one of the first people in the course of the week I actually started having a conversation with, and lo and behold, she's dealing with trying to get this wonderful book of hers out there called The Gift of ADD, Shattering Labels and Changing Expectations for Parents and Teachers. Now, Mary Ellen is an author, obviously, and an accomplished educator with more than 20 years of classroom work and educational research. She spent 7 years researching and writing her book, which is called The Gift of ADD, Shattering Labels and Changing Expectations for Parents and Teachers. And she is currently a presenter, parent, and educational consultant, and a children's learning advocate. Mary Ellen, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Stuart. It's wonderful to be with you.
Did I leave anything else out that you want them to know about you before I start hitting you with questions?
Well, I think that they need to know that I'm also ADD, and I have raised a child who's now 24, who's very successful, by the way,
mm-hmm.
owns his own home and is out on his own and has been in a stable relationship for 5 years with a woman and now engaged. And so I think it's important to recognize that these children, when we give them the proper perspective on who they are and help them to understand ways to balance their life and help them to recognize that the school systems at this time may not be able to help them to learn in the ways that they best do, and so school may be the most difficult thing they ever do,
mm-hmm.
they can become very successful. And like yourself, I also was not identified ADD until a very short time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I can now recognize and look back at so many of the things that have made life difficult for me as an adult as a direct relationship to things that happened through childhood and not believing in myself because of not having those things addressed. So
mm-hmm.
it's important for parents to recognize how important it is for them to be advocates for their kids, and the first thing is to get as knowledgeable as possible.
Right. Yes, one thing that I read in everything was that education about ADD is extremely important for the parent, for the teachers, as well as for the adult client. But how do you educate a child? Like, what are the early signs of ADD, and then how do you help a child understand what this is about, why they're struggling the way they do?
Well, for parents, when we look at the early signs of ADD, it's important, first of all, to recognize that they don't always mean that a child is ADD, but they are good indicators that if they have these characteristics, they could be ADD. And one of them is that they typically cry excessively and for great intensity and long periods of time, more so than a non-ADD child. And they're much more difficult to soothe once they do become upset. Colic is very common for these kids, but these kids will cry even if they're not colicky.
So you're talking about signs that even go into infancy.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. Okay.
So we can kind of begin looking very early to watch for those things.
Okay, well, I'm going to distract you here for a minute because we need to take a short break.
Sure.
And we'll be back with Mary Ellen Girac and Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this message. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and tonight's topic is called The Gift of ADD. My guest is Mary Ellen Girac, who's the author of a book called The Gift of ADD. Mary Ellen, before the break, you were talking about the early signs of ADD, and what surprised me is that you were actually going back to infancy, even pre-verbal and pre-socializing periods in development. When you're teaching parents to look for those types of signs, how do you keep the parents from actually overreacting to it or seeing it where it's not or you know what I'm talking about here?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's important for us to know those signs so we can begin to look. And even if the child isn't ADD, we can make interventions to help with neurological differences that can be in place even if it isn't ADD.
Mm-hmm.
Because many children can have neurological differences that by putting some things in place can help those spots to get smoothed over and the child is in more balance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important for them to recognize it but then not get all concerned and worried that, oh my goodness, you know, something awful is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because you and I recognize that ADD truly is a gift,
mm-hmm.
and that although there are some drawbacks neurologically and drawbacks because of the way they learn differently, that knowing early can help them to get as educated as possible and put things in place to make their child's life as easy as they can.
Well, when you mentioned the neurological definition of ADD, I mean, that kind of says ADD does exist. It is real. There's actually, you know, SPECT scans and PET scans and stuff that actually show what parts of the brain are being affected, you know, for people with ADD. Is that correct?
Absolutely. It definitely has a neurological component, and that neurological component can cause inattention, low frustration tolerance, boredom, tendencies to act without much forethought, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
But what we need to also recognize is that the symptoms are actually outward signs of a person's different style of learning,
mm-hmm.
and an evolutionary change. That the learning and social environments really need to start doing more to support the uniqueness of these creative risk takers, as I call them in
mm-hmm.
the book, and help them to balance the neurological differences. When we do that, we're going to begin to unleash the gifts that these children come to bring us, because at this time, their gifts go largely unrecognized because we're expecting every child to kind of fit into a neat little box, and these children don't fit in those boxes easily.
You know, we talk about a holistic approach to things where, you know, I often talk about, and I know you do in your book also, about the power of words, the power of thoughts, and how they're creative, and, you know, using affirmations. Well, the power of words, something that really struck me in your book is just like in your title, Shattering Labels and Changing Expectations, you use, which you just did, the word learning differences instead of learning disabilities, which it really blew me away, and I really loved it. Talk more about how that would impact parents and kids who are diagnosed. I know even as an adult it impacts me just to hear it.
Yes, absolutely, because what we're basically saying, when something doesn't fit into the box of what we look at as the way to learn, then it's considered a disorder. And it's not a disorder at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's merely a different way of processing.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've done in education, unfortunately, is considered anything that doesn't fit into that box that looks different as something that's broken or needs to be fixed. And what really needs to happen is just for it to be addressed differently.
Mm-hmm.
And the change is going to come because of these young children. These ADD kids are really an evolutionary change in the way we learn. Prior to this, for about the last 600 years, we've been in a paradigm that began a very big scientific explosion. The Newton and Galileo and many of those scientists who brought in a lot of information that was very helpful to us to advance technologically. And it was a left brain kind of logical way of processing information, and it worked very well, and it's brought us very far. But it's brought us about as far as we're going to go with that type of thinking. We're at a place where our awareness is so different now. We are making a switch, and that's where quantum physics comes in. So these children are coming in very right brain dominant, and typically they have what we call a homolateral learning profile, where their dominant eye, ear, hand, and leg are usually right as well. They may have one of their modalities or strengths that switches over. And that's why education is really beginning to struggle, because we're having kids come in, and we typically learn best the way our school system is set up if we are first left brain dominant, and second, if we are what we call cross-laterally profiled. And that means that our dominant sensing organs of eye, ear, hand, and leg are opposite the dominant brain hemisphere, because our left brain will actually take in and process the information from the right side of our body and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're seeing now, Stuart, is a real switch in the styles of learning that are coming into our classrooms. Particularly in the last 7 to 10 years, there's been a tremendous shift. Where it used to be the majority of the kids were left brain dominant, the majority are now coming in right brain dominant.
Hmm.
So we've got kids that are coming into a learning environment that doesn't fit how they learn. And when parents begin to recognize that one piece of information alone can impact their ability to make a difference in classrooms for their kids, because what they need to begin to realize is they have to take that power back. Parents have given away their power to physicians through doing drug therapy. They no longer have the power. They don't feel like they have control to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've also given away their control to the educational environment, believing that they know what's best for their children.
Right.
And I think this is a chance now for parents to recognize that so often, if they become educated about what their children need, both in the home environment to create balance and in a learning environment to create that, that they're going to go into the individualized education plan meetings for their children and the 504 plan meetings with educators, and they're going to know more than the educators.
Mm.
And that's going to re-empower them to be able to make the change begin to happen. I really think that the power will, you know, once the parents recognize the power that they really do have in impacting their children, just that fact alone will impact these kids to start bringing their gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as you say, the power of word
right. Is
so very critical for these children.
Right.
When they know that adults believe in their gifts and their goodness, and when we recognize how to parent differently, all kids, this isn't about just ADD kids, it's really about us as a society learning to parent for the first time.
Right.
And learning to teach really for the first time in a different way.
And knowing,
empowering way.
And accepting and understanding that not every child can have the same approach to learning or to discipline or to structuring or whatever. And I know from my own experiences, like, you know, you call the book The Gift of ADD, and that's what I want to talk about when we come back, which is maybe those people listening out there who are dealing with this and their kids or themselves will really understand the power of this gift. So we're going to take another break here, and stay tuned. This is Stuart Altshuler and Tell the Truth Faster. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. And my guest tonight is Mary Ellen Girac, who is the author of a book called The Gift of ADD, Shattering Labels and Changing Expectations for Parents and Teachers. Before we went to break, I actually started talking about the specialness of kids with ADD. And I know that as I look back on my own life, that I know that I learned differently. Even as a kid, I understood that I was learning differently. And if I had had this information and people understood what it would have helped me a lot. But I realized that not being able to focus on textbooks and you know, avid readers reading and stuff, I developed a much more intuitive and sensory way of learning what I needed to learn. And I think that's what makes me the therapist that I am and the visionary that I am. And a lot of people with something like ADD tend to think outside the box and tend to come up with all these creative ideas and new ideas and groundbreaking things and tend to be visionaries. From what I gather, what you're attempting to do is bring such an awareness and consciousness to parents and teachers and schools that it really starts helping these kids know and understand that there is really something magnificent about the fact that their brain chemistry may be different than what is expected. Is that basically where you're going with all this?
Absolutely. That is exactly where I'm going. I truly believe that even when we're looking at some of the brain scans and whatnot that we do on these kids, and we're looking at how when children that are non-ADD and children that are ADD are how their brains light up
mm-hmm.
as they're going through problem solving or doing different kinds of reading techniques and whatnot. And we're noticing that in an ADD brain, the brain lights up less
mm-hmm.
in certain areas than the non-ADD brain. And we're right away making the assumption then that the ADD brain isn't working as efficiently or as well and all of that. And there's no way that I can prove this at this point in time, but based on what I know about the fact that these kids have a really different way of processing information. And as you were talking about, that visionary, that whole picture thinker, they're the kind of brain that goes, and when we're doing problem solving, it's as if they float above the problem and they can see the holistic picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they come up with an idea and people will look at them and say, how did you come up with that? Where did that come from?
Right.
And yet then they take the second step back and they say, but gosh, that sounds fabulous. That, why wouldn't that work? How can we make that work? You know, kind of thing.
But the problem a lot of the kids face is the adults don't know how to handle that wisdom and usually shut them down.
You're
like,
exactly.
You know, who are you? You're just a kid. What do you, you know, it's like, that can't be right. Or they're too threatened to actually say to them, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's do something with
You're right. Because we've been taught as instructors to put information out to kids and have them pair it back rather than a lot of independent thinking, creating critical thinkers and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
That's beginning to change, and we're seeing wonderful pockets of that across the nation. But for the most part, we're still in a teaching mode of giving out information in a lecture format and then expecting kids to parrot it back on a test.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that we recognize, that I want to go back to that brain scan kind of information again, when we look at people who learn a certain skill, let's take driving a car, for instance, and they are learning how to drive a car, and if you remember yourself learning how to drive a car, Stuart, I'm sure it's pretty much like mine, where, you know, you were really hanging onto that steering wheel, and you were cognizant of everything going on around you, and you were just so focused on what needed to be done, and you could see everything around you.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the process of learning how to drive became more mundane because you learned different things to do and you felt more comfortable with it, then it became less tedious. And now you probably drive to work a lot of times. You get to the job and you think, how did I even get there?
Right.
And that's the process that the brain goes through. In learning something very new, a lot of the brain is going to light up because you're using a lot of different things, a lot of parts of your brain, and you're trying to tie them together. And as the neuronal networks get built to create a way to be able to solve those types of problems or do that kind of dance step or whatever, as those develop, it becomes less and less tedious and more rote. And for me, these exams or these tests that they do on the brain showing that the ADD brain lights up less leads me to believe that the ADD brain is more efficient in the way it does problem solving,
mm-hmm.
in the way it does some of its learning, and that we do process differently. And it would be almost unheard of that the brain wouldn't look different in
mm-hmm.
scan doing these types of tasks. So I really believe that what we're looking at is an evolutionary shift
mm-hmm.
in the way we learn, that we're coming in more right-brained, more homolateral in our dominance, that although we are still seeing about the same number of kids being visually dominant in their learning, there has been a complete flip-flop in the numbers of kids coming in as auditory learners and kinesthetic learners.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be that about 39% were auditory learners first, which puts them at an advantage when you're doing a lot of lecture, which as we do.
Right.
And there was about 13% that were kinesthetic. Now that has completely switched. We still see about 47% dominant visual, but now it's about 38% dominant kinesthetic and about, you know, 14% or so in the auditory.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't shifted the way we're teaching, but we've shifted the way we're learning.
Right.
And typically, the auditory is going to be the last way of processing. We're processing visually and kinesthetically first. And so these children are really at a distinct disadvantage in our learning environment, not being left brain dominant, not being typically cross-laterally profiled,
mm-hmm.
and then typically being kinesthetic with a visual preference backup or visual with a kinesthetic backup. You know, they're really in a quandary within our educational system.
And in your book, you talk about something, because I know that one of the things about ADD is we're constantly looking for something stimulating and engaging and novel and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that we tend to, which is a dichotomy for me, we tend to like taking risks, and yet at the same time tend to fear them because we're conditioned not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You use a term, creative risk takers. Talk about that, and how do you encourage kids to be creative risk takers as opposed to self-destructive risk takers?
I think that it comes from our helping kids to believe in the gifts that they have first, because kids want to be accepted, and they want to be loved, and they want to be appreciated. And these are children that don't accept the status quo easily, not like the other kids, and particularly the way we grew up being able to accept that. They're going to question everything. If you're not going to put a reason for them to do it that makes sense and also fits with their moral kind of fiber that these kids bring in, they're very heart-centered and they're very centered around something needing to be right.
Mm-hmm.
So the means and justification for them never makes sense. In other words, war wouldn't make sense to them even if it meant that there was a good result at the end of the war, that people would be freed or whatever. If the means to get there isn't also right, they're not going to buy into it. And so because the teacher said so or because mommy said so isn't going to cut it for these kids. They want to know the why.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to know that there's a good reason for it. So in an educational sense, one, we need to make education more engaging for them because they're kinesthetic usually to begin with. They need to be invited into the learning environment, and they need to have their learning style honored, because otherwise they're not only going to become discipline problems, but they're also going to become creative risk takers in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
What we want to encourage through them being honored for the way they learn and for the gifts that they bring, and recognizing that it takes longer for them neurologically to become settled down enough to be able to think problems through before making a choice that gets them in trouble, recognizing these things and not constantly being negative with them, but reframing, like the toddler. When
mm-hmm.
they fall down, we don't yell at them and say, "You stupid child,
mm-hmm.
why can't you learn to walk?"
Mm-hmm.
We say, "That's okay, get up, you can do it."
Mm-hmm.
And we need to do that with these children longer, because in a social sense, in a behavioral sense, they are like that toddler for a longer period of time than a non-ADD kid,
mm-hmm.
just because of those neurological things that we were discussing.
And that's the same thing when I'm working with adults with ADD or anyone with any self-esteem issues. It's kind of how do you reprogram them to do that inner talk, that self-nurturing, like, it's okay that I fell on my face this time. I'm going to get up and I'm going to keep going because I know I'm on the right track. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. Tonight's guest is Mary Ellen Jurach, who's the author of The Gift of ADD. And we've been talking about just that, how ADD and kids and adults with ADD really have some amazing gifts to bring to the world if it's identified and if they are being programmed to know and understand that what may be a frustration to them at times can actually be turned into a way of living a life that can become easier and less frustrating. And I know, Mary Ellen, at the near the end of your book, Chapter 7 actually is called Creating Balance. And, you know, we skirted over the fact that, you know, it's like don't throw the baby out with the bathwater when it comes to medication.
Mm-hmm.
But the medication can complement so many of the other things that you talk about in the book. And the five areas of creating balance, I think, are those complements. So can you talk a little bit about what it means to create balance? And I know that these things hold true whether you have ADD or not, but please go ahead.
Okay. Well, there, like you said, are five areas of balance that I consider important. And we need to recognize that along with better parenting and teaching, techniques from all of these areas, the five balance areas, need to be implemented at the same time to get the greatest benefit. In other words, there's been a lot of talk about dietary intervention, and there's been back and forth about that. And dietary intervention, in my estimation, is one important component. And for many parents, they've probably heard about the Feingold diet, and for many people, it's been poo-pooed. And a lot of the background on it has been kind of not really done well. And so people have, you know, addressed it as saying, well, that it's not that important. But what we've tried to do is find one magic pill. And there isn't a magic pill.
Mm-hmm.
That really it's a three-part process of one, first of all, seeing something different about these kids so that we will do something different. Parenting and teaching differently is the second step. And then the third step, incorporating these five balance areas. So if we do one or two of these, will it help? Absolutely. But if we incorporate all five of them, along with better teaching and better parenting, then we're going to see these kids really make a turnaround. And we're going to see families operating better and schools operating better.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is dietary. The second is breath, exercise, mental, and emotion. Each area has several components to it. For instance, when we talk about the dietary training area, we're not just looking at removing things from a child's diet. We're also looking at what we need to increase. For instance, these children need more protein.
Mm-hmm.
And by increasing protein and things like amino acids, we then begin to take care of some of the deficiencies that these kids typically have because of the ways that their system works, their ways of incorporating the dietary stuff from the food that they eat is less efficient at times. They don't absorb as many of the nutrients, and
mm-hmm.
so they have a tendency to be having amino acids, calcium, zinc, manganese, things like this in deficiencies in their body.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have deficiencies, then our brain doesn't work as efficiently
right.
either. So many of the brain things that we're seeing going on can be taken care of just by increasing water, making sure that these kids don't get a lot of artificial things in their diet, that
mm-hmm.
they're getting really good foods, high quantities of the protein.
Which doesn't necessarily always mean, I mean, I'm a vegetarian, so
uh-huh.
I have to speak up, and so it doesn't always mean red meat and all this other stuff.
Absolutely.
Although some kids do better on that,
mm-hmm.
But that there are other sources of protein as opposed to just, you know, pumping them up with all of this red meat and everything else.
You're absolutely right. And one of the things that I suggest, and for any callers tonight, that by Thursday order my book either online or through my toll-free number that we'll give at the end,
mm-hmm.
And you can have on your website also for
right.
folks, I will send them a group of different protein shake recipes that they can use with their kids in the morning, and these kids will definitely do better in school just by having, you know, a good protein source prior to starting school. So, and there are a lot of other things that we need to talk about. Homeopathy is something to look at for these kids that can do a lot of things that drug intervention will help with. So when we understand the reasons for the symptoms, then we can start incorporating things from all of those areas to then begin to balance that whole system.
Yeah. What I like is that in the context of like the emotional training, you talk about meditation, you talk about affirmations, you talk about a lot of things that a lot of parents don't think to teach a child already, and that most of us as adults go seeking, you know, our teachers, so to speak, to learn some of these more holistic approaches to things.
Absolutely. And meditation, they've done a number of very large studies on how that helps children and adults, even if they're not ADD, to focus better, but particularly with ADD persons, both adults and children, meditation has shown to be very, very helpful in reducing the symptoms.
Now, so, I know we only have a couple of minutes left, and I wish we had more time here. And I will tell people that they will be able, if they don't have a chance to write down your number, it's 1-866. Pay attention.
It is.
And that will be posted on my website, tellthetruthfaster.com, by tomorrow, along with a link to your website so people can order the book and get in touch with you to ask whatever questions they may have. So that's 1-866. P-A-Y-A-T-T-E, I guess.
Right.
Okay, but it's pay attention.
Just so they can remember it
easier.
Yeah.
And I know I only have a couple of minutes, Mary Ellen, but I really, truly, number one, want to thank you for the work you put into this book. And it says a lot that Edward Hallowell was willing to write the foreword and sees the power of what you've created here. And I also want to thank you for being on the show tonight. And even if we just had enough time to maybe whet some people's appetites or stimulate their thinking a little bit and getting them more focused to want to follow through on some of this, then we've served a purpose tonight, I think.
We certainly have. And you are a true inspiration to all of us, other folks who are considered ADD, creative risk takers, because of the success that you have had with your career, and what you're doing is so very, very powerful. And I know that you have another project going that really directly relates to that, helping these kids and other kids like them to begin to recognize their gifts and share the gifts that they're coming to bring. So
that's true. And again, I've known throughout my life, I've been kind of like one of those kids and adults that always came up with ideas that people looked at me like I was crazy, like, where did those things come from?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until my diagnosis with the ADD that I understood where all that stuff was coming from. I mean, I've always seen it as a gift, but a curse at the same time, because the ability to follow through on most of them was often what undermined me and my self-esteem. And so I almost stopped after a while of saying, gee, I have this idea, because people sooner or later started thinking, well, here's another great idea he's not going to follow through on.
Sure. And it's important for us to recognize that in ourselves and for other people to assist us, because as we were talking at the break about, 40% of the most successful business people in this country are ADD folks, and they become the most successful when they can connect with other people who will do those tasks that they find mundane so that they can continue doing the creative things. And it's important for the folks listening tonight to recognize that Einstein, I consider the poster child for ADD.
That's great.
He hardly spoke till he was four. He flunked math in grade school. Teachers suggested to his parents it was pointless for him to continue school, and we consider him now to be one of the greatest minds of all time. When we begin to see these children with new eyes and focus on their strengths, then we're going to unlock their potential too, and we're going to begin to see the solutions within the dilemma itself.
Well, more better closing words I could not have uttered myself. So we're going to close on that. This is Stuart Altshuler. Mary Ellen, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. Stay
Thanks
tuned
so
next week, and we'll be back with Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. Have a good night.
That I heard of love.